Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We got up to the top of Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. We're four lines from the top of Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. And last thing we learned yesterday was the discussion between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the Tzedukim who were trying to change the laws of the Yerusha. The Tzedukim used to say, Tirash Habas Imbas HaBen, that if a man had left a granddaughter who was the daughter of his son, but the son had already died, and he had left a daughter, so the Tzedukim would say that the daughter gets a chelik of the Yerusha together with the Bas HaBen. And they went back and forth, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and a certain Zakim from the Tzedukim, arguing about whether, in fact, there's any basis for such a statement. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai obviously argued that there's no basis for any such psak halacha, and rejected the argument of the Tzedukim. And when he rejected the argument of the Tzedukim and his rejection was accepted, they made a Yom Tov. They made that day a Yom Tov because it was a small battle won over the Tzedukim. Now, just one thing I didn't mention yesterday, because we were rushing a little bit at the end, where the term Tzedukim comes from. Rashbam points out the story. Rashbam in Dibur Maskil Im Bas HaBen, about 10 lines before the end of the page on Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis, tells us the story that Tzaduk Ubaitus Talmidei Antigonus Ish Socho Hayu. Tzaduk and Baitus were both Talmidim of Antigonus Ish Socho, Vayushonin L'Talmidei Mashe Kiblu Me Antigonus. And they taught their students what they learned from their Rebbe, from Antigonus. And namely, the teaching in Pirkei Avos, Al Tiyu Ka Avadim HaMishamshin, that you should not be like Avadim HaMishamshin V'Sarav Al Manas L'Kabal Pras, that when we serve the Ribbono Shel, we shouldn't do so only Al Manas to get rewarded. V'Toha Talmidim B'Kach Sh'Yisvurim D'Hachi Kamar. And the Talmidim, when they heard this from their Rebbeim, they made a mistake about what it meant. They thought it meant Ivdu Lumakom Va'Al Tikablu Schar. They thought it meant that you're going to spend your life in Avodas Hashem, and there's no meaning to all of it. You're never going to get rewarded anyway. And they said, well, that's ridiculous. Why would there be such a religion that you're doing something and that you're doing avodah your entire life, you're doing avodah Hashem your entire life, and God doesn't care, He's not going to reward you? Meaning it's such a fundamental theological belief that there has to be a concept of schar va'onesh, that they knew as soon as the Rebbe said it, that if that's what he meant, it's ridiculous, it's absurd, that he has to be wrong. And they said, well, if that's what the Chachamim say, then everything the Chachamim say is a joke. And they didn't take anything the Chacham said seriously. So what do? They didn't reject God. They didn't reject the Torah Shebichsav. They rejected anything the Chachamim ever said. They said, whatever the Chachamim say is a joke. And therefore, this clan of people were called the Tzedukim and the Baitusim, because they're a Talmidim of Tzedek and Baitus. Now, according to this Rashbam, Tzedek and Baitus themselves did nothing wrong. They just taught their Talmidim what they learned from the Rebbe. That maybe the only thing they did wrong was not to make sure that the Talmidim understood it 100% clearly, because the Talmidim obviously misunderstood it, but it was the Talmidim who are the ones who went off the derech. If I'm not mistaken, it's Machlokas Rishonim, actually, whether Tzaddik and Baitus themselves started going off the derech, or it was only their Talmidim. Whether it's Tzaddik and Baitus themselves who misunderstood, or it was only their Talmidim who misunderstood. The obvious reason to want to suggest that it was they themselves who misunderstood is because for all these years, we keep on referring to these people who were rejected Torah Shebal Peh as Tzedukim and Baitusim. So their names are associated with such terrible things, you would have to say that they did something wrong. Now, the other side is that, yes, they did do something wrong. That when you teach your Talmidim, you have to make sure your Talmidim understand. You have to give bechinas. You have to follow up with them to see that they understand properly, and not to just assume, well, if I said it and I understand it, then it must be that they understood it as well, which very often sometimes people do. Okay, so says the Gemara, four lines from the top, on Daf Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph. And they said, we're going to change the laws of Yerusha and Shevet Binyamin so that a Shevet not be wiped out of Klal Yisrael. I mean, this is, the Rashbam fills in the details, what's going on over here in the Navi. Rashbam writes, let's see the Gemara first. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Debei Rabbi Ami, Melamed, Shehisnu al Shevet Binyamin, Shlotiresh Bas HaBen Ima Achid. They made a rule in Shevet Binyamin that a Bas HaBen should not receive Yerusha together with the Banim, together with the brothers. Meaning, if a man had three sons, and one of the sons died, but left over daughters, right? So when the grandfather dies, even though the halacha should be that each of his three sons get a chelek in his Yerusha, and the deceased son passes on that chelek to his daughters, they made a halacha, they changed the halacha, and they made a rule that the granddaughters should not receive the Yerusha together with their brothers. Why would they do such a thing like that? Why would they take away? Why would they change the laws of Yerusha? So Rashbam explains, Shaltir Shbasa ben Ima'achin Shal Ben, Ela Achin Yorshin Kol Nechse Ha'av. That what it really means is that the Basa Ben should not be Yoresh, I said it wrong, with the brothers of the Ben, with the brothers of the... With the uncles, Ela Ha'achin Yorshin Kol Nechse Ha'av. Rather, the uncles get all of the Yerusha. Va'afilu Chelek Shoyerot, they even get the chelik that would have gone to the deceased brother. Because what happened? There was that story of Pilegesh Begiva, that wild story. Again, one of those wild stories at the end of Sefer Shoftim, where you have Pesal Micha and Pilegesh Begiva, where the Navi is obviously not written in chronological order. The Navi is just trying to drive home the fact that without a system of Malchus, we were in complete disarray. We sorely lacked leadership, and we needed some sort of malchus in order to rein things in a little bit. And that's why the Navi tells us these stories as an introduction, so to speak, to Sefer Shmuel, where we're going to be introduced to the concept of a melech. But in that story of Pilegesh Begiva, what happens? This guy goes with his Pilegesh to a town. They stay overnight. They want to the people from the town come out and they say we want that man that just came, and the man throws out the Pilegesh and says, here, take her instead, and they violate her and they kill her, and the man is so upset about what happened to his Pilegesh, who he threw out the door to be violated by them, that he cuts her body up into 12 pieces, and he sends a chelek to each tribe, saying, you know, look at this terrible thing that happened. Basically, it leads to civil war, and because the Shevet of Binyamin was approached, and they were told, look, you got to hand over the perpetrators of people who did this, and the Shevet of Binyamin would not hand over the perpetrators, and because of that, it led to civil war, and pretty much almost the entire Shevet of Binyamin was wiped out. So what happened? Mesubim l'chama kol Shevet Binyamin v'afilu anashim. All of Shevet Binyamin was wiped out, even the women. There were 600 people left from Shevet Binyamin. So now you have all of the land of Binyamin. Whatever their chelik in Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided amongst 600 people, which means that each person that's left, it's a pretty sizable piece of property in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, at that time, magia harbe ma'od min anachla li'isha achas habal lirash. So if a woman is going to receive Yerusha, she's not just going to get a little piece. She's going to receive a major portion of Yerusha. V'mtinasi l'shevet achar. Now, can you imagine if she goes and marries out of the shevet? Nimtzeis negras nachla shevet Binyamin. So shevet Binyamin is going to be missing so much. And therefore they said that when there are sons, the sons should yarshin the father. We don't want the nachla to go away from the bnei ames. And they made a din that the bas haben should not receive the Yerusha together with the other banim. The hefker bezin hefker. By what koach did they make this law? Hefker bezin hefker. For what reason did they make it? Because they were afraid if they were to give the Bas HaBen a chelik of the Yerusha, it would be such a sizable piece, and she has very little choice of who to marry within the Shevet, so she's going to end up marrying outside of the Shevet, and that sizable piece of Shevet Binyamin's Yerusha is going to end up in someone else's hands. Aval, why didn't they just make a rule that no girls can yarshin? No, so says Rashbam, Avlim lo iniach banim elabanos, Gam bas habas tirashimahen tlo nichle lemei shetekar nachlas mizaro. If a guy only left daughters, so then the girls can receive Yerusha because no one wants to leave nothing for their own family, for their own descendants. So if the man was zoche, he was lucky enough to have descendants, he would not be okay with the idea. This would not have been mekubal by Sheva ben Yamin to just give up on the idea of passing on the Yerusha to their own children. But the mechanism through which they did this is Hefker Bezen Hefker. Now the Buri Hadaf of your quotes from Rav David Pivarsky that based on the Rambam, even when you zocha something from Hefker, let's say you zocha in a field from Hefker, by Yovel that field is supposed to go back to the original owner. So L'chore, he says, you could ask, Mahui L'chacham V'takanasam? What did the Chacham accomplish over here? At the end of the day, when Yovel comes, the field is going to have to go back to that Bas HaBen. So what, you're going to delay a few years? She won't receive the Yerusha immediately, but ultimately it's supposed to go back to its rightful owner. So he says, what you see from here is that Hefker Bezen Hefker is even stronger than regular Hefker. That Hefker Bezen Hefker can accomplish things that regular Hefker cannot. And although you're right, when you're Zocha from Hefker, at Yovel goes back. When you zocha mitam hefker based in hefker, it does not go back at Yovel, right? That's the that's what you see from here. And then from here you see that the chum have the right not only to be oker mamon mi by love, but even to determine who is the rightful owner and who does no longer has a right to be zocha in the mamon. And that's what they were misakin, that the bas haben should not be should not yoresh, and the mamon never even comes into reshus. It never even begins that it's hers where it could ever come back to her at Yovel. So good. So that's the idea of Hefker Beis and Hefker, the particularly strong form of Hefker Beis and Hefker that we have over here. Says the Gemara Vayter. So good. So that was the takana that they made. Amr Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shum Menichai Kol She'enu. Now the Gemara is going to have a little bit of a garata. Kol She'enu Maniach Ben Liyarsha Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mali Alav Evra. Anyone who doesn't leave a son to yarshin him, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is full of anger on that person. So Rabbi Chanan writes that. What do you mean? Because he didn't leave a son to yarshin him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him. A lot of people try to leave a son to yarshin them and they're unsuccessful in doing so. They're unable to have children, or maybe they have plenty of children, but they're all girls. So what do you mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him? So there are basically two approaches. Rav Chanan says in the Kovet Shurim that it's not a siba, it's a simin. Meaning it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the person because he didn't leave a son. It's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't bless him with a son that shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him. But that's very difficult also to accept such an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu someone has a family of beautiful, amazing, wonderful daughters, and he's able to marry them off to and have grandchildren and have a beautiful, big, wonderful family, and that's going to be that's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. So the other approach is the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah says that no. The idea is, it's talking about someone who is not osek bepiria verivia. We're talking about someone who didn't want children, who never even tried to have children. So you're talking about someone who never even tried to have children. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him. Lo iniach ben liyarsho, if a person thought that his mission in life was to end with him, and that he was so important, that that's where it was going to be, that he didn't need to have any children to leave after him. So that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be angry at him, that he wasn't Osik B'Piri Verivya. And that's what the Achronim say, that when the Gemara in Masech HaShabbos tells us about the six questions that they're going to ask you when you go up to Shemayim, right, the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Aleph, the Yad Ramah says, what does the Gemara say? They're going to ask you Nasasav and Nasata Be'amuna, Kavati Itim LaTorah, and then they're not going to ask you Kiyamta B'Piri Verivya, they're going to ask you Asakta Bipiria Verivya. They're going to ask you, were you involved? Did you try Pruravu? Not did you fulfill it, because whether you fulfill it or not is not up to you. That's up to the Ribbono Shalom. But they're going to ask, were you Osek in Pruravu? That the Ribbono Shalom does demand from us, that we at least try to be Osek in Pruravu. Now the problem with the Yad Ramah is that it doesn't seem to fit very well with what the Gemara is going to say soon. The Gemara is going to talk about how Rabbi Yochanan could not have ever said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at someone who doesn't leave a son, because Rabbi Yochanan himself had 10 sons and they all died. So he himself didn't leave a son, so he couldn't say that was an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. There's no way that he could have said that was an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. But if the Yad Ramah is correct, that we're only talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being angry at people who didn't try, well, Rabbi Yochanan certainly can't be faulted for not trying. He had 10 sons. They just all died. They all died during his lifetime. Rachman al-Utslan, what sort of Agmas Nefesh Rabbi Yochanan had to live through. So that's the difficulty with the Adramah. We'll see if we have a way to deal with it when we get to that line in the Gemara. So anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan says, anyone who doesn't leave Ben Liyarsha, Kodesh Baruch Hu is full of Evra. Ksiv hacha, how do we know this? Because the Pasuk says, in regards to Nachla, Vavartim is Nachla, so that if a man dies, Uben ein lo, so Vavartim is Nachla, so Libito, you pass on the Nachla to his daughter. But you see the Lashon Vartem, Uksiv Hasam, and yet we have another pasuk that says, Yom Evra Hayom Hahu, that it's a day of God's anger, the Navi Tzfanya says. So that's so we see that the Lashon of Evra is a Lashon of anger. Fine. Asher ein chalifos lama v'lo yiru elokim. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi, chad amar kol she'enu meniach ben, v'chad amar kol she'enu meniach talmid. So the idea that he's not yirei elokim, that it's an indication that someone is not yirei elokim. So it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi, who the pasuk is referring to. That's an indication that he's not a yirei elokim. Is it someone who didn't leave a son, or is it someone who didn't leave a talmid over when he died? So Tistayim, says the Gemara, must be the Rabbi Yochanan Dama Talmud. The Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that it's someone who didn't leave a Talmud. But someone who didn't leave a son is not at all an indication that he's not a Yirei Elokim. Dama Rabbi Yochanan, Din Garme Dasira Bir. Because Rabbi Yochanan famously said, it's a Gemara Meseches Brachos Tafhei, that Rabbi Yochanan said, look, this is the bone of my 10th son. Meaning I had 10 sons who died, and he used to carry around the bone of his 10th son who died. So you see, it's time to Rabbi Yochanan, Dama Talmud. So it must be Rabbi Yochanan who holds that who's the Ein Yirei Elokim? Not the one who doesn't leave a son, because he didn't leave a son either. But it's, the Ein Yirei Elokim is someone who didn't leave a Talmud. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said Talmud. Why would he do such a strange thing? Why would he carry around the bone of his 10th son? So says Rashbam in the second wide line, Dein Garma Dasira Bir Nishar Etzlo Shein Echad Mibanav Ubohayu Menachem Lemarei Nefesh Ha'avelim Shashen Shalmei Sein Otameh. He says, first of all, two issues Rashbam deals with in one line right there. He says, first of all, what was he intending to accomplish by carrying around this bone? And second of all, how can he allow himself to be metameh to an etzem in a mace? Right, he's constantly becoming tameh. So Rashbam deals with both issues right there in that line. First of all, he says he used it to be menachem the marei nefesh. He used it as a way of giving the chama to people who were struggling. And what about the tumah issue? It was a shein shel meis, and the shein shel meis is einu metameh. Ditan ba'alos perikimel kol she b'meis tameh chutz min hashinayim v'aseir v'atziporin u'b'shas chibur na'kol tameh. That the Mishnah tells us in Ahalos that a shein, a tooth of a dead body, so long as it's no longer on the dead body, is not metame, so he had nothing to worry about in terms of the tumah. Now the Rashi in Maseches Brachos says that he would take this, and why did he take the bone to be menachem people? Rashi in Maseches Brachos says that he took this bone of his 10th son, even though it's metame magam masa, this was an etzem that was less than a kisaora. Normally an etzem kisaora is metame, this etzem must have been less than a kisaora, must have been a very, very small bone. The Ritva says, no, he didn't take a bone of a human being. No way, that would be crazy to carry around the bone of a human being. So no, it wasn't a tooth, it wasn't a bone. Says the Ritva, it was a bone from the Su'udas Havra'a that he ate when his son died. That one of the halachas of Avelos, or of Nichum Avelim, is the halach of having a Su'udas Havra'a. That the first meal that the Avel eats is not Mishalo, that he eats Mishalachim, that other people bring food for the Avel to eat. That's the concept of a Su'udas Havra'a. So it's a question whether that's a din in the Avel or a din in the Menachemin, right? Is that a din in Nichum Avelim or is it a din in the Avel himself? Nafkamina Rav Shechter used to say, Nafkamina is, can you drop off the Su'udas Havra at the base of Avelim before the funeral, where they're not yet an Avel? So if it's a din in Nichum, well, it's not time for Nichum yet, so you shouldn't be dropping it off yet. But if it's a din in the Avelim themselves, that they just can't eat Mishalahem, the first meal, so then there's certainly no problem with doing so. But anyway, he took a bone from the chicken, from that Su'udas Havra, and that's what he carried around with him as a zecher, to always remind people of the terrible suffering that he went through. Now, in the Gemara Maseches Yuma quotes a stira between two psukim. Let's actually go weiter in that Rashbam. Says Rashbam, so how does this prove necessarily, just because he carried around this bone, that Rabbi Yochanan held that the Ein Yirei Elokim is someone who doesn't leave a Talmud, and not someone who doesn't leave a son? So says Rashbam, even Rabbi Yochanan lo niach ben, imisa disrile, demisha lo niach ben, nikra lo Yirei Elokim, lo ya omer lebrios, den gomer dasi rabir. Damrim ba'alma, chatzif alai man, he says, if it were true that it were an indication of a sinner, someone who doesn't leave a son, then he wouldn't go around bragging about it. Right? If it meant that he was not a Yirei Elokim, you're not supposed to brag about your Averos. Now, the Gemara Maseches Yuma is not so clear about that you're not allowed to brag about your Averos. Gemara in Yuma Pei Vav and Beis quotes the Sirim Psukim. In Tehillim, it says, Ashrei Nesoi Pesh Kesoi Chata, that the Pasuk Rashbam quotes, that you're supposed to cover up your Averos. But in Mishlei, it says, Mechaseb Sha'av Lo Yatzliach. You cover up your Averos, you're not going to be Matzliach. So the Gemara over there actually has two Teirutzim to answer this Tira. Are you supposed to keep your Averos a secret, or are you supposed to publicize them? Answer number one, Habachet Meforsam, Habachet She'enu Meforsam. When it's an Avera that everyone knows about, so it's better to go and be Moda Berabim that you did it, because everyone knows about it already anyway. When it's a Chet She'enu Meforsam, then it's better not to go around telling everyone about it. And there's a very simple Svara. You go around telling everyone about an Avera that you did and people didn't know about it. Whenever people hear about more averos being done, it sort of lessens the magnitude of that avera in their eyes. They hear, oh, everyone does it, this guy did it, that guy did it, okay, so it's not so bad. So you're not supposed to go around publicizing averos that people do not yet know about. That's one answer of the Gemara. The other answer of the Gemara is kan b'aver shben adam l'chavero, kan b'aver shben adam l'makom, that for averos shben adam l'chavero, you go and you tell everyone, and so that through that you'll be able to be mevakesh that the person. You could tell, you could be mvakish mechila from the person. You could tell him, look, I was embarrassed enough. Please, do me a favor. Be mochel me. So, according to the first day in the Gemara, so the Gemara has no raya over here. Because the fact that Rabbi Yochanan's son died, that was vadai, something that was well known. So there's no raya that Rabbi Yochanan, from the fact that he was publicizing it, that it must mean that it's Ein Yirei Elokim. No, adrabba, he's supposed to publicize this kind of avera. If it was an avera that everyone already knew about, so then it's something that he's supposed to publicize. Well, the truth is, it doesn't mean the avera everyone knew about. Everyone knew about his son's dying. Not everyone necessarily knew what avera he had done to lead to the death of his sons. But either way, that's it fits a little bit better with the second teretz of the Gemara, that it's on an avera shmevel m'makom, that perhaps Rabbi Yochanan should have kept quiet. And the fact that he didn't keep it quiet must mean that it has nothing to do with an avera, that Rabbi Yochanan holds it tzafka when you don't leave a Talmud, that it's an indication of not having Yiras Hashem, not when you don't leave a son. That was that's the idea of the Gemara. Now, again, just to be clear over here, we had two separate statements. One is that someone who doesn't leave a son, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is full of Evra, and one is that it's an indication that you're not Yirei Elokim. Right? The Achronim ask that it seems from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan was walking around with the tenth son, it seems like it's against what the Yad Ramah had said, that God's anger is only because you didn't try, right? So it could be the notes on the bottom of the Yad Ramah says that the fact that Rabbi Yochanan was menachem with this bone, someone who died without a son, so it's muchach that he hold that the pasuk is speaking about a Talmud, meaning that's the raya. It's not like the Rashbam says that he was walking around with it to show people that he did an avera. No, it was to show people that the fact that he went around with it to be menachem people must be that he held that it was a Talmud, because if he held lo Yirei Elokim, he wouldn't go around to be menachem people like that if he held that they were not Yirei Elokim. Why would he be so interested in going to be menachem people that were not Yirei Elokim? That's how the Magia on the Yad Ramah suggests is the Pshat in this Gemara. There's another Ha'ara that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz raises in the Sichos Musar. The Gemara Bavim Tziyadav Pedal Raman Alf tells us how Rabbi Yochanan reacted to someone else's death. The Gemara tells us that after Reish Lakish died, Rabbi Yochanan was a mess. He couldn't function. He was totally in. They tried to get someone else in place of Reish Lakish to come learn with him, and everything Rabbi Yochanan would say, the new guy would say, "Yeah, I have a brisa just like that. I could support you from here, from there." Rabbi Yochanan said, "What are you talking about? Reish Lakish, when I would say something, he would attack me and he would tell me why I'm wrong. You're telling me that I'm right. I could pat myself on the back. I don't need you to pat me on the back." And he missed Reish Lakish terribly. He became a total mess to the point that they were mispallel that he should die because he just couldn't handle it anymore. He couldn't handle life without Reish Lakish. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out in Sichas Musar, unbelievable. He lost 10 children, and he was going around being menachim people, and he was the picture of courage and strength, and he loses his chavrusa, and he can't function. So it says something about him. It says something about the value of and the place of Torah in his life. That was his breaking point. Losing his chavrusa was losing his ability to learn at the highest possible level. That was the breaking point of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. By the way, on the Mali Evra, the Rashash has a totally different explanation than the Gemara. The Rashash says, why is it that the Gemara says that Lo Iniach Ben Li Yorsho? What does it have to do with Yerusha? It's nothing to do with Yerusha. Someone doesn't leave a son, right? Isn't the whole point that you don't have a son? So says the Rashash, no. Lo Iniach Ben Li Yorsho means a person has a son and he goes ahead and he gives away all of his money to other people before he dies, so he avoids giving Yerusha to his son. That's the Evra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is full of. Lo'iniach ben li'yarsho. You don't leave a son to yarshin him. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is full of Evra on such a person. There's a tshuva in L'Chsam Sofer where someone asked L'Chsam Sofer, a guy didn't have any children, and he wanted to give away his nechasim to other people before he died, to set up tzedakah funds and all sorts of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim to be involved in with his money, so that because he figured, I don't have any children anyway, why should my nephews and my cousins, I don't want all my money to go there, I don't care about that. So he asked if he's allowed to do that. So Chassam Sofer says that we see in our sugya, someone who dies without sons, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is malei evra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is full of evra on him, against him. So he says, so maybe it's dafka a good thing to go do mitzvahs with your money now, because you need to get rid of that evra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. It's a siman of the evra. So that's taka a good idea to go and do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim with the money, rather than leaving the Yerusha for nephews or cousins or whatever. Okay, says the Gemara, Vayter. So says the Gemara, okay, so Rabbi Yochanan is one that said Talmud, that if a guy dies without Talmud, then that's an indication that he doesn't have Yerushamayim. Umid Rabbi Yochanan and Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amr Ben. So Rabbi Yochanan is one that said Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Levi must be the one who said Ben. For Rabbi Shimon Levi laws of the Beit Tamia, El Lebei Man, the Shach of Lo Bani. So, but wait a second, how could Rabbi Shimon Levi say that someone who dies without sons is not a Yerei Shemayim, when we know that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was makbid never to go to Beis Av, never to go to Beis HaKvaros, except for the funeral of someone who died without sons? That's where he would go. He would go cry over someone who died without sons. So don't you see that Rabbi Shimon Levi obviously held that the person is not a Rasha, that the person is a pretty good guy? So El Rabbi Shimon Levi Udomer Talmud. So it must be Rabbi Shimon Levi is the one who says that if you don't leave a Talmud over, that's where the person is not a Yirei Elokim. But someone who doesn't leave a son over could be the Tzadik Gamur. Umid Shimon Levi Udomer Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan Ben. But if Rabbi Shimon Levi is the one who said Talmud, then Rabbi Yochanan must be the one who said Ben. Kasha Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. So isn't this Tiran Rabbi Yochanan? So it says Gemara Lo Kasha Hadidei Hadarabe. It actually turns out that Rabbi Yochanan, there's a difference between what he himself held and that which his Rebbe held. That which he said, Shalom Iniach Ben, was what his Rebbe held. That was not his own Shita. So both Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan held that someone who dies without a son is not at all an indication of what of the Yerushamayim of that person. Rather, it's Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe who held that way. Good, so he would say over the teaching of his Rebbe, even though he personally disagreed with that teaching in a very clear way, even though he disagreed with the teaching of his Rebbe. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Simen Hadad Ani V'Chacham. Darshay Pinchas Ben Chama. May Dechsev V'Hadad Shama B'Mitzrayim Kishachav David Ima Vosav V'Chimes Yov Saratzava. That Hadad heard in Mitzrayim that David had died and that Yoav had died. However, when the pasuk describes the death of David and the death of Yoav, it uses a different word to describe each. Why is it by David it uses a lashon of shchiva, that he was shochev, and by Yoav it uses a lashon of misa? So David shiniach ben nemer bo shchiva, Yoav shaloniach ben nemer bo misa. David who left over a son, so it says shchiva. Yoav, who did not leave over a son, it says Misa, right? So apparently, it's not nearly as strong, the death is not nearly as strongly felt when a person leaves over a son. So, frak the Gemara, what? Yoav lo niach ben? Yoav didn't leave over a son. Vaksiv mi bnei Yoav Avadya ben Yechiel. It talks about much later on in history, that Mibnei Yoav, from the family of Yoav, descended Ovadia ben Yechiel. How could you call it the family of Yoav if Mishpacha Zavkri, Mishpacha Zeim, Enekri, Mishpacha, it wouldn't be called the family of Yoav anymore, it wouldn't be called from the children of Yoav, right, if it were only daughters that he left over. He must have left over his son. Ella, rather, what's the difference between David and Yoav? It's as follows, that David sheiniach ben kamoso nemer bo shkiva, Yoav lo sheiniach ben kamoso nemer bo misa. Yoav left the son, David left the son that was just as good as him, and that's why it says shkiva. Yoav left over children, but none of them were quite like him, and therefore it was a misa. The Yeridus Hadoros was so poignant in the case of Yoav. Darsha Pinchas ben Chama, another drasha that he has. Kasha anius b'toch beis shaladam, Yosem Yechamisha Makos, that being poor, having poverty in a person's house, is worse than 50 makos. It's interesting, the Achronim say that the Marsha writes, why is it betoch beiso shaladim? Just like kasha anius. So the Marsha says, even if he has mizonos, etzel acherim, who people are mefarnes him, people give him mizonos, betoch beiso, it's still very difficult. It's still kasha mechamisha makos. For a person not to be self-sufficient, for a person not to be able to support himself, that's very difficult. It's not only about starving, it's about feeling like you're not a human being, like you're not fulfilling your responsibilities toward your family, that a person is unable to support his family. That's kasha mechamisha makos. Shenemar chanuni chanuni atem roi ki yad elokad nagabi. That Eov says that the yad of Hashem came against him. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu sort of slapped him with 50 makos. Right? We know that etzbe elokim is 10 makos, but the yad elokim is the 50 makos. V'karmi lechavre. And what do the chaverim of Eov say to him? He shamar al tefen alav. Yeah, you would prefer this than being poor. If you were poor, it would be much worse than all of the suffering that you're going through. Frak the Rishonim, but he was poor. He lost everything. Didn't he lose all of his money also? So Tosav here says, Tovachab Maksal Mashiisa Ani Da Ashir Haya Tilomatsinu Shivs Viov Elo Behemos Aval Karkos Vikazavizav Lo Hivsid. He says, no, he only lost his animals. He lost his livestock. But he didn't lose his karka, he didn't lose his silver, he didn't lose his gold. So in that sense, he was not poor, he was a rich man. He says, Arum Yatsasim Betanimi Varum Ashuv Shama. He Eov is the one who said that I came out of my mother's womb naked and I'm going back naked, meaning I have nothing left when I'm going back. He says, yeah, none of us have money when we go back, right? That's when a person dies, they don't bring any money with you. So that's not an indication that he was not wealthy. Fine, says the Gemara, Darsha Pinchas Bar Chama, Kol Sheyesh Lo Chola B'toch Beiso, that anyone who has a Chola in his house, so what do you do? Yelech Eitzel Chacham Yivakish Lov Rachamim. He should go to a Chacham and Yivakish Rachamim from the Chacham. Shemar Chamas Melech Malachim Oves Vish Chacham Yichaprena. That you go to a Chacham to daven for you and he'll be Yivakish Rachamim. The Meiri has an unbelievable line. The Meiri says, you go to a Chacham Yivakish Lov Rachamim, not only that the Chacham will daven for you, it's that you go to the Chacham so that you can be Yivakish Rachamim. Well, how does that work? Says the Meiri. Sometimes people don't know how to daven, so you go to the Chacham to teach you how to daven, to give lessons in tefillah, in showing you what the proper way to daven is. So that's what you do in Mevakish Racham. Pasha Pshat though is that you go to the Chacham so the Chacham can daven. Why does the Chacham's tefillah carry so much more weight than your tefillah? So after all, probably the tefillah of the family member itself is probably more heartfelt. So no, the idea is that whenever someone is pained by something that's going on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, and he makes sure that everything in the world is just. So obviously, if someone in the family is suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that the whole family, on some level, deserves such a din. But maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't determine that the Chacham should have to suffer through this. And if the Chacham really feels the pain of the people that he's davening for, which is the whole point, he's supposed to feel the pain of those people, and he's going to be up late at night crying over what's going on. So what? So that itself maybe will cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take away the Gzeira, because maybe he never intended the Gzeira to be against the Chacham. He intended the Gzeira to be against that family. Rav Moshe has a fascinating tshuva in the last volume of Igros Moshe that was ever published. They plan on publishing another one, but the last volume to date of Igros Moshe that's been published, Rav Moshe writes that he writes a tshuva trying to express why he feels it's okay that when people come to him to daven for cholim and for relatives, that he doesn't turn them away and tell them that he's a nobody and nothing. He says, you know, really, I should turn them away because I'm a nobody. And he says, they think that I'm some sort of tzaddik just because I say shiurim in yeshiva, and, you know, just because I'm a rabbi, they think that I'm some sort of tzaddik. But if they would know who I really am, Rav Moshe says, they would never come to me to daven for their relatives. He says, probably the people who know me, when they see people coming to me to daven, they probably laugh, like, what are they going to him for? Moshe writes, it's like a wild tshuva. Yeah, I'm sure, like Rav David and Rav Reuven were giggling that they were going to Rav Moshe. So he says, but the word is that why do you go to the Chacham? Because you never know when someone has a zechus that's going to be able to open up the gates of Shemayim. You never know. And so that's the concept of Birchus Hedyot Shnapi Kalabeinacha. You never know when another Jew has some sort of zechus that's going to help you up in Shemayim. So you go to the Chacham because you hope the Chacham has lots of zechuyos, so it's a better chance than when you go to the Chacham. But really, you can go to anybody, and anybody might have that special zechus. Rav Moshe says, I can't turn them away, because who knows? I don't have much, but who knows? Maybe I have that kind of zechus that's going to be able to help them. If I'm not mistaken, this is where the idea of a Mishaberach and Shul comes from. That the idea of the Mishaberach and Shul is that the Chacham will say Amen to the Mishaberach, and he'll daven for the Cholah. So it's the rabbi of the community would go in and would daven for the Cholah. That's where the minag, that's the idea of the minag of saying a mishaberach dafkin shul. Okay, zakal kolakodem menachle yotzi recha kodem va'av kodem kol yotzi recha. So he said anyone who comes earlier in the line of nachla, his descendants also come earlier in the line of nachla. But a father comes before any of his own children, meaning if a man's son dies. And didn't leave over any children, so the father gets it rather than the brothers, because the father comes before his own children. Let's say you have the father of the father and the brothers of the father, like Avram and Yishmael and the Nechasim of Esav, meaning let's say Esav died without children. He didn't, he had many children. Let's say he died without children though, and he left a grandfather, Avram, and Yishmael, and he left an uncle, Yishmael. So who gets his Yerusha? So the uncle or the grandfather? Now Rashbam points out interestingly, why do we give the example of Nichsei Esav? Misa Naka Beisav Shu Rasha V'lo BeYaakov. We dafka want to pick a case of Esav dying, not Yaakov dying. We could have said Yaakov, but we don't want Yaakov to be dying over here. So we dafka pick a case of Esav. So anyway, who gets the Yerusha? Amar Rava Tashma Av Kodem Kol Yitzirechov. Says it's Beferish in our Mishnah. The father comes before any of his own children. So Avram is going to come before Yishmael. V'Rami Bar Chama Agav Korfei Lo Iyin Ba. And Rami Bar Chama only asked the question because he wasn't paying such careful attention. Right? Rashbam says he was tar b'sheila acheres. He was really thinking about another question that he wanted to ask that the Gemara is about to say. So he didn't pay careful attention to this question. That's why he didn't ask a very good question. Rabbeinu Gershom says because he was chazering. So sometimes when you chazer, you just read things very quickly. So he didn't read the Mishnah carefully because he was just chazering quickly, and that's why he asked a bad question. But here's the good question: Avia av va'achiv kikon Avram v'Yaakov b'nichsei Esav ezaman kodem. Who comes first? Does the brother of the deceased or the grandfather of the deceased come first? So Amar Rava Tashma ha'av kodem l'kol yotzei recho. Well, it says the father comes before any of his descendants. So doesn't that mean that the grandfather comes before the brother? So Ram Bar Chama yotzei recho shalov lo yotzei recho shal b'no. Ram Bar Chama says no. It doesn't really mean all of his descendants. It means any of his own children he comes before, but not that he comes before all descendants. So if there's a grandchild who's a brother of the deceased, that would come before the grandfather. Hachinami Mistavrin, he says it's actually most logical to assume that way, Dikatani, because it says, Zeh HaKlal, Kalakodim B'Nachla, Yotzi Yerecho Kodmin. Anyone who comes earlier in Nachla, his Yotzi Yerecho, his descendants, come before the people who are later on down the Nachla line. Vilu Isei Li Yitzchak, Yitzchak Kodim. So if Yitzchak was around, Yitzchak would have come first. Meaning if Yitzchak was around, in this case that we gave, where the grandson died and Yitzchak was the father, but Yitzchak was not around, had Yitzchak been around, he would come first. So Hashanami Delesa Yitzchak, Yaakov Kodem. So now that Yitzchak's not around, Yaakov comes first. So Shema Mina, therefore we see that it's okay for Yaakov to get, even though Avram is still alive. Okay, so we'll pick up as Shem from the Mishnah tomorrow.